Well, certainly not saving the best for last, I can promise you that, but... So I do want to thank my confreres for their conferences. They're very good conferences. And then also to thank, actually, Father Boyle. He thanked me for giving him the opportunity for this, but it was actually through his example that gave me the idea to do this. He had already started something for his parish in North Dakota, so leading by example made me look badly. So I thought I'd better do something quickly. So I just thought, oh, well, I had in mind to do this for the Feast of St. Pius X. So, so through his example was what helped. So finally, the conference that I'll give you tonight, you may have seen the flyers that probably came up about 2 days ago to show you how well prepared I am, is on the importance of the priesthood itself. As Father Gauchy mentioned in his conference, the spirit of the society on this, seen through the statutes, it is something that, with the Society of St. Pius X, that is the sole goal at very first, is just the continuation of the Catholic priesthood. The Archbishop puts in the statutes itself, he talks about, he says, Mihi vivere Christus est. He says, that is the life that members of the society must live, that Christ lives in us. And no more sure way is than the priesthood itself, is having that life of Christ living in us. Because God willing, we are alter Christus, we are another Christ. And so that is what then the Archbishop tries to bring out in the spirit of the statute, yes, the continuation of the work. And as Father Boyle mentioned, just from the fact of him following divine providence, he wanted to retire. And so from that, God had willed it another way. And so that is why then we can see very clearly that the priesthood is very necessary. Necessary in our modern times today. Necessary in the fact of that is how we gain the graces and that's how we will save our soul. It is through the institution of the Catholic priesthood. And that is why the Archbishop was very clear from the very start. It seemingly he was called by God to continue then the priesthood, the formation of the priest. And that you can see very clearly is in the statutes of what he says is the main goal. The formation of the Catholic priesthood. I mean, just as Father Gauchy may have said, schools are not meant to be conveyor belts to the seminary, but also from that, that is not our primary work. It is by extension, yes, because of the crisis in the church, that we do run schools. Maybe you realized that after last year, what a crisis in the church it is that I'm running the school, but in any case, it is only by exception that is something that we do. That is not what the Archbishop envisioned with the formation of the society from the very beginning. He wanted to continue the priesthood, and that was it. But the Archbishop, seeing to be led by divine providence, yes, he continued that on. And as Father Gauchy mentioned, you know, it is a priestly society, a common life without vows. So we don't necessarily take the same vows, like, say, the monks do who pass through here. We take implicit vows very clearly, but we don't necessarily explicitly take the vows. And the reason for that is the Archbishop says, because of our work. We could not technically take on the vow of poverty and still do our work. Even though sometimes I wonder about that, I think we're already in that vow. But because of our work, if you understand the vow of poverty, you would have to ask before buying anything. You would have to, you know, ask these questions of your superiors, and it's just not practical because of our standpoint. And granted, we promise obedience at our ordination, the promito that we make to the bishop that is ordaining us. We pledge our fidelity to the society, yes. Again, as I say, it is more of an implicit vow that we take. And then obviously with the subdiaconate, we take the vow of chastity. But from that, the archbishop, he said the whole existence and remains that the society is priestly and is built on the sacrifice of the cross, because that was the reason for the incarnation. That is, our purpose is the priesthood. He goes on to say in June 1988, he said, the means of giving the faith and grace to souls desiring it and to souls that have lost it is to produce priests, to restore a true priesthood. He says, priests are the source of faith and grace. He continues on and says that the priest is really and truly the source in the sanctification for souls, at the source in the salvation of souls. Without the Catholic priesthood, we will not be able to save our soul, because the graces come from that. The graces of confession, the graces of receiving Holy Communion at Mass, extreme unction, they come from that fact. And that is why the archbishop was so clear in trying to protect it, because he could see the damage that was going to take place. He could see the damage that was going. So he said, faced with the general destruction of the priesthood within the church, especially since the Second Vatican Council, it is obvious that we could not have had a greater, more beautiful, more noble, and more useful task than that of producing priests. And so he could see that. Granted, that's 1988. But if you look at his words and he says, you know, what more noble task that we had than to produce priests? Because he says, that is where the sanctification and the salvation of souls will come from. I mean, just imagine for ourselves if there were no priests around. I mean, what would we do? You would have no Mass. You would not be able to receive Holy Communion. You would not be able to go to confession. Think about extreme unction as we're dying. No chance for a priest at all. I mean, these are things that we should consider. And maybe some of you have come from the Novus Ordo. Maybe you have met Novus Ordo priests, different things. By no means am I judging them. But if we've been in that environment, what is happening? There are lack of vocations. There are ones that are leaving their vocation. The seminaries, for the most part, we can say, are fairly empty. And why? It is because they have stripped away what a true priest is, another Christ. They have stripped that away. And granted, it's very clear, you can even just see it from the fact of the way that they dress. I mean, granted, there are some priests that still wear at least a clerical suit. You may even see some in a cassock. But how many of us have maybe met a priest that we did not even know he was a Catholic priest? I remember when I was first ordained, new priest, second weekend, actually my first full weekend as a priest, I go up to Minneapolis, St. Paul, where Father Rutledge is now. I said Mass there, a first Mass. And so one of the faithful and one of the priests there had taken me to St. Patrick's Guild. It's a religious goods shop, I guess like Gherkin's here in Denver. So I go in, and I'm going to buy linens to be able to offer Mass, you know, back at home, different things. I just thought, well, I'll take advantage of being in a place where there is a religious goods store, and I'll go get linens. So I go in. I'm going to check out, and this man is in front of me, this man wearing cut-off jeans and a t-shirt. I thought nothing of it. He turns around and asks me, he said, oh, are you a seminarian? I guess at that time I looked fairly young. I don't think I had as much gray hair. I'm not saying you're responsible for that. I just said I didn't have as much gray hair back then. So that, I mean, we're talking about almost 10 years ago. So I'm sure you're trying to imagine what I might have looked like 10 years ago. It's kind of like, poor father, look at him now. But I'm saying this, so he asked me, he said, so are you a seminarian? I said, no, actually, I'm a Catholic priest. And he said, oh, okay, really? Wow. He said, when were you ordained? I said, just last week. He's like looking at me. He says, so where are you stationed? And it's like, I don't know yet. And it's like, what? Well, they haven't told me. Maybe that's for a reason. But so I didn't know at that time that I was going to be stationed in Syracuse, New York. But and so I told him, I said, well, I'm a member of the Society of St. Pius X, and we say the Mass in Latin. And he kind of looked at me and is kind of like, oh. It's like, ooh. It's like, I guess he's heard about us. As I'm innocently standing there with my linens. And so then the clerk comes back, and they say, well, Father, we don't have that in this week. And he goes, oh, okay. And it's like, I thought to myself, wow, that was a priest. It's a small story, but I would have never have guessed he was a priest, especially by the way he was dressed. But that, I think, is just a small indication of the stripping away of the true priesthood. Because, yes, you can't tell what if they're a priest, if they're not a priest, you know, who they are, whatever. My dad ran in one time into the with a bishop at a golf course. Didn't know he was a bishop. I mean, he knew he was the bishop just because he hadn't seen him before. But he didn't look like a bishop. And so he called him Your Excellency, and, you know, he almost, like, fell over. Maybe fell out of his golf cart, I don't know. But it's just, I think those are small indications of what has happened. And so for the Archbishop back in 1970, when he founded the Society, and when you think about it, the new Mass was promulgated in 1969. And so I think very clearly the Archbishop could see what direction the Church was heading in. And that is why he felt the need to produce Catholic priests. Because, yes, what will happen if they disappear? Thanks be to God, the Archbishop followed divine providence. As Father Boyle had said, there's over 500 priests now of the Society, which is tremendous to see the growth of that. I mean, just to see that, it is a tremendous sign. And so for the Archbishop then, you know, you can give them the foundation in the seminary. But then as anything else, as you parents may realize the same thing, you try to give your children a good solid foundation because at one point they're going to leave the nest and they're gone. And then what? You hope that you've given them such a foundation that they will still stay faithful. And so for the Archbishop, the same thing, the same idea is in the seminaries, you get that foundation, 6-7 years. Maybe it sounds like a lot, but trust me, as we go through it, it certainly isn't. Basically, like your last few months at the seminary before you're going to be ordained, or at least they tell you that you're going to be ordained, you're like looking for it. It's like, well, I wonder how else I could stay here. It's like, can I do like a year of sabbatical? It's like, you haven't even started yet. It's like, well, you know, before going out. You pray for that. It doesn't seem to happen. And sometimes you get stuck. And so that is why then the Archbishop was very clear, is once they leave, they must have a community life. And that is one of the protections that he makes, is with the priories. And that is why we went through and tried to explain to you what is a schedule of a priory life. One, so you don't get the idea that we just sit around in our nice big house and just do nothing all day. We actually do something. Prepare conferences for you. say Mass for you. But no, the Archbishop was very clear with that. He said, that is the protection. And he says, the society is essentially based upon its priories in the community life. It is a protected life, a life which is cloistered and protected from the world. That was his idea of that. And that is what he wants with the priories, in a sense that they are a cloistered life as much as we can. Because honestly, as priests, your priory should be a haven for you. This is my third priory I've been in. And trust me, some of them, it's like you wish was a haven. You'd go fleeing to it, running, and try to lock the doors and barricade the doors. Because you'd be surprised with some people. It's kind of like, oh, they'll knock on your door. They don't mind. What would you do if I just came to your house unannounced, knocked on your door? I'm sure most of you would like close the blinds, tell the children to be quiet, and just sit back there and don't say a word. Father McDonald's at the door. Don't say anything. Think about the same thing if you feel the urge to just come knock on our door and say hi. If you see all the blinds drawn, you'll know what we're doing too. Our priory is a haven for us. That's why the Archbishop says it is the protection for the priest and the community life. And that's what he wants. And that is why we've told you before in different things that the society usually will not start a priory without at least three religious. Most of the time it's always three priests. But sometimes it may be two priests and a brother, different things. But he says they will not start these priories without having the religious there. Because they need that community life. They need that protection. And so that is the wisdom of the Archbishop. As he forms the priests in the seminaries, through his spirit, through the statutes, and then they go out into the world, then they still have that same protection. I mean, trust me, being at the seminary on Stockton Hill, what a protection. You felt you were just taken away from the world. When you had to go into the world, it was kind of like, oh, great. We've got to go down into Winona. Some seminarians, it was like, kind of like their joy every week that they got to go shopping or something like that. Some of us just tried to see the ones that were going into town and just have them pick up the things for us. Because that's the last thing you want to go do is go into town. Trust me, that's like here. Thankfully, Mrs. Chekis is so faithful in picking up our groceries or going through things. If I could, I'd just shop online for everything. Can you shop for groceries online? What do you know? But in any case, luckily we have people that are willing to do that for us. Because it's bad enough you go out into the airplanes and into the airports. Man, if that's like a cut of society, it's like, keep me out of it. So, truly, the community life is meant to protect the priest and help them. And help them in their apostolate. Help them in the work that they are doing. It is the strengthening from the apostolate itself. And that is why the Archbishop, when he says to hand down what we have been given, I mean, to truly to hand down to what we have been giving ourselves. And so for this, the Archbishop, he says the society is essentially apostolic because such is the sacrifice of the Mass. And his biography that Father Boyle had mentioned, the biography written by Bishop Tissier de Malaret, he says, therefore, the Mass is the priest's source of sanctity, the source of his union with Christ, the victim of the cross, and his zeal to pour out the precious blood on souls. It is through the Mass that the priest will be able to pour down the graces upon souls. There will be a test for you ladies in the back, just to let you know. The last table, you that are sitting there laughing and talking instead of listening. I see all things, don't forget. That is the beauty of a prior and principal and pastor. So I will leave you with the words of the Archbishop on how he saw the priesthood. And I think this sums up very, very well what the Archbishop, how he lived his priesthood, how he wanted to form the priesthood, and then how he envisioned the work to continue. He says, "Your priesthood is firstly one of prayer, praise, and adoration." So firstly, our priesthood is given to God. It is one that is given to Almighty God. So yes, it is one of prayer, of praise, and adoration. That is something that for all of us, that is something that we must do. He says, secondly, your priesthood will sanctify your soul, the soul of your neighbor, and the souls of those to whom you are sent. So first and foremost, we must give the adoration that is due to God. Then secondly, with our priesthood, you will sanctify your own soul, our soul, the soul of your neighbor, those that are around you. God willing, as confreres, we will help sanctify each other. And then those to whom you are sent. And so we have been sent here, and so therefore we are meant to sanctify your soul. And he says, consequently, yours is a sacrificial priesthood, a priesthood in which you sacrifice your own self. And so he says, consequently, because of those first two things, you will sacrifice yourself in order, one, to save your soul, but then also to save the souls that are entrusted to you. And so that is truly how the Archbishop looked at the priesthood itself, and he lived it. He sacrificed everything to his last day. So we'll end with a prayer and a blessing, and then we will go up and sing Compline. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. St. Pius X, Our Lady, help of Christians, O Sacred Heart of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. So I give you a blessing. Benedixit in potentis, Patris, et Filius, Spiritus Sanctus, et Spiritus Sanctus, et Semper. Amen. But thank you very much for coming.